Hi there and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. This is episode number 4 and we can safely say Happy Christmas. Oh yeah, you see, I thought we'd get some nice Christmas music just to make a bit of a change. Whatever you're doing, if you're tuning into this podcast and you're preparing for Christmas, maybe you're putting up your tree, maybe you've just started your Christmas holidays, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, I hope you're going to enjoy it. And I hope you're going to have a very, some people say Merry Christmas. I know in the UK, over here in Dublin, we tend to say Happy Christmas. But look, whatever you're doing, have a great Christmas. So we are with you for an hour this month. It's our longest podcast yet, and we just thought, look, it's Christmas, let's throw out a great show. And what a great show we have, because Jenny Axler from Hymns is going to be joining us. We promised Jenny for the last two editions, so she's here this month talking about Hymns products and her own move to South Korea. And we're going to be speaking with Achim McKinnon from Capsys. They're these really innovative guys in France who are making some amazing push-button mobile phones. But they're not just button phones. They're full-feature smartphones. So really looking forward to that. Hope you're going to stay with us. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, it's podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. And a quick reminder that the Sight and Sound Technology offices will close on the afternoon of Christmas Eve. That's the 24th of December. And we'll be open again on Wednesday, the 2nd of January, 2019. Now, for the last two episodes of our podcast, we've been mentioning Hymns, and on episode number 2, I talked you through a recent Polaris update, and we also, when we referenced Hymns, mentioned Jenny Axler, and I'm delighted to say we've got Jenny on today's podcast. Jenny, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So I think, just to put this into context, Jenny's 9 hours ahead of us here in Dublin. I think it's like 8 o'clock. Sorry, 7 o'clock your time. Isn't that right?
No, it's about 8.
8 o'clock your time. Okay, so you're doing this late in the evening in
Korea. I just had dinner.
Brilliant. Listen, great to have you, because you're working really at the cutting edge of a lot of this new and exciting Braille technology that's coming out of Korea. Tell us a little bit about Hymns, the company, first.
Well, actually, Hymns has a long and strange history in that it's actually not Hymns anymore. It was originally opened in, I think it was 1999. And it was started by a guy named Mr. Yoon, who had a friend who was a superintendent of a blind school. And before he started the company, there were not many note takers in Korea. Mostly they had a few Braille lights here and there, a few Braille notes, but they needed something that was much more accessible to Koreans. And it just really wasn't at that time. And there wasn't, Korean localization was pretty terrible, if it was existing at all. So he was asked to create one of these things for Koreans. And that's basically how it all got started. Then they branched off into Braille displays and low vision and daisy players, etc. And he actually sold the company in 2014, which was my first year here. I started in Austin, Texas, in the American office in 2010. And I got to come here for training. And I really fell in love with the products and wanted to be closer to the development. So I wrote to the vice president of the company and expressed my interest in working in Korea if there was a position. And they were also having some difficulties getting tech support in English for, you know, the blind. They had sighted Koreans trying to do it, and it was just kind of interesting. So they were very interested in me and my skill set and knew what I could do. So they decided that, yes, they'd like me to try and do that. So I came here in 2014, and by the end of the year, Mr. Yoon had sold the company to a company called Diotech, whose parent company was called Infraware, which is all coming into play. And they have all changed names, and so has Hims, and we combined with a medical device company called Jawan Medical. So now we've become Selvus Healthcare, and our parent company is Selvus AI. And apparently Selvus is some kind of like major rainforest that's very, I don't know, dense and full of growth. And so this is supposed to be sort of why we're named Selvus. But Hims has tried to sort of remain true to the BrailleSense models. That's always been our flagship product. So we've really tried to remain true to that.
Well, brilliant. And we'll come back to the BrailleSense in just a moment, because there's exciting things to talk about, especially with the Polaris. But just for a second, because it is interesting, and you and I have chatted previously, but you moved from the States to Korea in 2014. You're totally blind. Just what was that experience like?
It's better now. When I first got here, it's actually... for a couple of reasons. First of all, I didn't speak the language at all when I first arrived. It happened really fast, my transition, and they weren't sure exactly how I was even going to learn. It turned out to be much easier than anyone imagined as far as the accessibility of materials, but they didn't know that. And so I knew almost no Korean except, I think, happy birthday. You know, I could say it was, I saw it on a YouTube video, and I sang to one of my coworkers before I came here in Korean. So that's the only Korean I knew when I arrived.
Excellent.
But anyway, so that was actually a big problem for me, because I couldn't do anything by myself as far as grocery shopping, setting up my bank accounts, everything else. And the other thing is, here, if you're a foreigner, you actually cannot get an ATM card for 3 months.
Wow.
So, and of course, I also can't drive a car. So even to pay my rent, someone would have to take me to the bank and help me withdraw cash so I could physically pay my apartment fees every month. And so, I mean, it was very complicated. And even setting up banking for a foreigner is really complicated here. And at that time, also, the people that I worked with didn't drive either. So one of them would take a bus to come out and go shopping with me and then take a bus back. We would walk from my apartment to the grocery store, do the grocery shopping, and then they would take a bus back. I mean, it was beyond inconvenient. So it's definitely not that way now. I have managed to get a lot of different things in place, and for the most part, I don't need a lot of assistance. But man, when I was first here, and that was new to me, because in the US I was very independent. I lived by myself, and I do here too, but I needed so much more help. And I think that was probably the most frustrating thing about it. Of course, not being able to speak or understand the language. I felt like I really stressed people out if I spoke English. So for the first, I will tell you, even almost the first couple of years, I was actually very shy, which is not my general nature. And I hated that, because I was like, nobody's seeing my personality, you know, and it was of course difficult to make friends and things like that when you're not speaking. And so I will say that it's Korea also has a lot of rules. It's a very formal society and very structured. And I generally like to color outside the lines. So this was also very hard for me to take. And I was always scared that I was going to screw something up. So my first couple of years here were really, really rough. But I loved my job. I loved my job from day one. And I stuck with it. And I won't say that everything is perfect. I still don't love a formal society. Doesn't mesh well with my personality, but I've certainly managed to, to survive here and thrive. And like I said, I do love my job and what we do.
I can only imagine, you know, what you're saying about, you know, going from an environment where you're totally independent, being reliant on people, and then on top of that, having the language. So it sounds like it was a real journey for you, but clearly one that you stuck with. Which is great. So we're going to talk, really, I suppose we brought you on to talk about Braille devices and all the exciting things that you're doing. But I suppose one thing that struck me when we were attending the recent Sight Village exhibition in London, lots of people were coming up to the stand to look at the new products from Selvus. And I suppose the Braille Sense U2, which is a product that people have been using for quite a while. The U2 got a bit of a makeover, didn't it?
Both physical and internally, you know, in terms of the software, it really did. You know, people do love the U2. I still love the U2. I have a U2 Mini and a Polaris Mini. I own both. Although I'm pretty much, you know, moved over to the Polaris Mini at this point. But, you know, the U2 even still has some great things like the Twitter app and even the little Google search. It's so convenient. So, you know, we really managed to get so much out of CE, YouTube, Dropbox, Facebook. They're not perfect, but we got more out of CE than I think any note taker has. So we really did make the most of the U2 and had some really great interface there. But we were really becoming limited. It just was not possible. Most of the U2 users actually complain about a lot of those apps because they're so limited. Twitter's one of the few that's not. But Facebook and YouTube, there are a lot of limitations there. And so, in fact, for some people, depending on how they use it, really don't find them that usable. They love the interface, but they're not able to access the content that they want. And this was really a problem with using CE with these services. The APIs that we were using were just really outdated. And we needed to, if we were going to, you know, continue and become part of the future, we really needed to use an operating system that was much more modern. And of course, there was also this really huge argument on our user forums about, do you use a note taker or do you use a mainstream product? Mm-hmm. And there were people really on both sides of this, and it was a very heated argument. Of course, the people that wanted, you know, the note taker, they really loved the blindness interface, but yet other people were so incensed at the limitations, the things that we couldn't do, that all the mainstream products could do, and you couldn't install apps and you couldn't do this. And of course, there were people on the other side of it that said, you know, the Braille display with the mainstream tablet or phone isn't as accessible, isn't as intuitive as the traditional note taker interface. So our goal with the Polaris was sort of to combine the best of both worlds. We brought a lot of the Braille Sense U2 over. And there are things that we will continue to bring over that, you know, we don't have yet. But we also have that freedom of being able to install apps from the Play Store and still give a more intuitive interface, things like first letter navigation, you know, that aren't available in TalkBack and BrailleBack. So that was kind of our goal with Polaris and why we did it.
And that's really, I think, exciting to be able to install applications, plus knowing, I suppose, that you're now running on an operating system that you guys can easily update as the operating system changes.
Sure. I don't know that I would say easily. again, you know, we're trying to, and that's one of the criticisms that we have, actually, that we're still using Lollipop. But again, you know, we're getting a whole lot out of it. We haven't really run into things that we just can't do yet, you know, really huge things. Most apps, even if they say, oh, this may not be compatible, they run fine. There are other ones that'll say, this is actually something your users might get when they're downloading apps. They might actually see things that say, this is not compatible with your device. A lot of that is actually just related to the touchscreen. I think people sort of think, oh, it's too old. No, that's actually not it. It's because we don't have a touchscreen built in. But a lot of times, if you get the APK, you can install it with no problem. Things like Apple Music, Amazon Kindle, you can use them. They work. It's just Google's sort of limitation. So, you know, we found that, yes, I know that we're a little bit behind as far as the number of the OS. You know, they're on P and we were using L, but it's been working for us.
And I think also one of the things in relation to that is that you probably, when you're working with an operating system where you have to add in your own overlays, that's going to take time as well. So you want to make sure that the system is stable and is going to work. So you might always be maybe a version or two behind.
Yeah, I think that will always be the case. Hopefully it will not remain the way that it was with CE. Like I said, we were using CE for, wow, I don't even know how many years. And like I said, I'm extremely impressed. Our developers are really great at squeezing every possible amount of potential out of whatever they're doing. So they did this with CE until they just couldn't anymore, and they'll continue to do it with with Lollipop as well. But sure, of course, we're considering, you know, what to do for the future and to make sure that we're modern. It is a huge amount of work to port it, which is why we haven't yet. And we're still sort of, I think that one of the things that people sort of need to remember with all of these Android Braille devices is that they're always works in progress, and they always will be, because the technology is changing so rapidly. And so just because something isn't available right now, don't assume that it's going to stay that way. This is absolutely a moving thing, and that it will continue to remain so, I think, for as long as it exists. And I think it'll move a lot faster than CE did. I think, you know, just our most recent update, we actually did a lot. It's true that when we started, we had some things that we needed to fix. Our own basic word processor was one of them, but we've actually gone and completely re-overhauled it, you know, added the notepad function, huge improvements. You know, we did finally add third-party TTS in November, which is something that our users have been wanting. So now you can download and use any voice that you want in any language. So we are making huge strides forward to make this what it really should be. But one of the reasons that that's taken so long is that we really tried to keep as much of the BrailleSense interface as possible. And I think that we've done that better than any of the current note takers that are available, maintaining the note taker interface as well as offering that freedom of Android.
One of the things that I have really appreciated personally, but also, I suppose, in particular, considering that this podcast is coming out of Dublin, a lot of people here in Ireland have appreciated the speed with which you guys are taking feedback. And probably for us, the best example was the implementation of Irish Braille into the BrailleSense Polaris, I think sometime around August, September.
Yeah, we at least got you a beta. It wasn't, I'm not sure that we got you a release that fast, but yeah, we got you a beta real fast, and then we did put it in the next release. We do, as much as possible, try to respond to feedback quickly. We've had several upgrades this year, and near the end of the year, there were, you know, major feature additions as well as minor ones. You'll see that again in the first quarter of next year. So our development is extremely active. You know, it did, like I said, it took us a while to get some of the base things done, but our development is very active and very forward moving. And we do really try to be customer responsive. I'm part of the sort of the liaison between the international dealers and the developer. And so that's a lot of my job. And I really, again, I enjoy doing it. One of the reasons I like to work here is because I can actually get that done. You know, I can converse with the developers and get things done, so I can see results and bring them back to you guys. So it's not on me. I'm just the middle person. Believe me, I'm not doing the work. But I love to be part of that because I can actually see that happening. And I know I sound like a commercial. I really do.
But no, but I have to. It is great. And you are also, by the way, ultra efficient. I think we have to say that here. Jenny is ultra efficient. Always gets back there very, very fast. Jenny, I suppose one thing that might be interesting for people to hear is just the type of people who use something like Polaris, because certainly within Sight and Sound, we have it in lots of classrooms. There's lots of people using it in really innovative ways. Some are connecting to tablets so that people who support them can see the output of the display. But I know there's lots of professionals using it as well, aren't there?
Yeah. One of our focuses has really been on education, especially in the last few months. I think when this first came out, especially for the early adopters, it was sort of more of a geeky device. And so we're trying to sort of bring it to the real world. But actually, the thing about Polaris is that it's really appropriate for both, especially now that we have really sort of stabilized our word processor, added this notepad function that's even easier to use. I think it makes it much easier in education. And of course, you know, being able to install third-party apps also helps in education. For example, you install GoRead for Bookshare in the US or the Bard mobile application. But whatever it is that you would use in Ireland for the library, you know, if there's an Android app, you can install that too. You know, so you can read Braille in classes and things like that. We also have, you know, things like the Excel viewer that allows someone to give a visual presentation of an Excel spreadsheet now that we have, you know, full HDMI support. And the same way with PowerPoint. I've actually given a couple of presentations directly from Polaris, just connected to HDMI, and it's so much more efficient than using Google Slides. I mean, yes, you can do that. We have that ability, and it's accessible, but it's great to be able to read a PowerPoint and have perfectly synchronized Braille. And when you see slide 2 on the Braille display, it's perfectly synchronized with what the viewer is also seeing, and it shows the real slide view. And we are actually the only Braille note taker that has an internal Excel and PowerPoint support within our own apps, within, you know, the Braille Sense apps, not just using Google. And so these things are really, really fabulous and powerful for professionals, and really bring accessibility, I think, to a more efficient level. Yes, you can do this on the PC with a Braille display. Of course you can. But this is easier, having it all integrated all on one unit, on something that's really easy to just put on top of a lectern and use.
I've certainly liked playing with probably the Polaris Mini a little bit more, just because it was a little more portable for the purposes of carrying around, to being able to do all that you say there and playing with the apps, and then being able to flick over and use it as a terminal with my iPhone.
Yep. I do the same thing. Actually, I really love the Mini models. I've always been a Mini model person. I bought an on-hand. I bought 2 U2 Minis. I actually have one in Korean and one in English. And then I bought my own Polaris Mini also. So yeah, I really love the Mini models. And I do use it as a display with my iPhone. Between my BrailleSense Mini, my Polaris Mini and my iPhone, I really can do just about anything on the go that I need to do.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool combination, all right. So the Polaris is definitely one to watch, and you've kind of mentioned that there are, I've no doubt, more things planned for 2019 to sort of enhance that device.
Yes. Of Excellent. Course, I can't really say anything.
Watch this space kind of thing.
But definitely, yes, definitely look forward to a very active year in 2019.
Okay, now let's talk about this other device that we also had at Site Village. Lots of people came up to look at this, and this is QBraille. And I know from chatting to you before that this is kind of your baby, so I'm just going to let you tell us all about it. I love it. I really love it.
It is kind of my baby. And I worked closely also with several staff at HIMS Inc. They don't really do, just due to various government reasons and various things, they don't do a lot of Braille displays in Korea. So this is really sort of a US-based product, and I think was based a lot on how US blind users learn Braille and how to use a computer and stuff like that. So the concept behind this, when I was very small, of course, I learned Braille when I started when I was 2 or 3. You know, it was a really, really basic foundation stuff for me, reading and writing Braille. That's my most efficient method of both input and output. But of course, I started learning a PC at about 6 or 7, and I learned all QWERTY commands and, you know, operation as far as with a PC. I know how to use Windows. So the thing that we discovered, you know, of course, later on, once kids grow up, they sort of get into using either a note taker as a Braille display, or they have a dedicated Braille display with JAWS or, you know, some other screen reader with their PC. But what would always happen with me is that I would be typing or editing or whatever I was doing, and I would need to do something on the PC or even bold or center or, you know, just do other operations, switch to a different program, copy, paste, whatever I was doing. And I could never remember what the specific command to do that on the Braille display was, because it's always so complicated, and all these, you've always got to do these little finger acrobatics, and sometimes it takes like two or three commands to get what you need to do, especially if it involves a function key. And so I would always just move the Braille display out of the way and use the PC to do this, because it wasn't efficient. I wasn't going to take the time to look it up. I didn't want to. So what would happen is I ended up just leaving the Braille display out of the equation, and it became a $3,000 paperweight. So I thought, well, what if we can combine these functions? Let's have the best of both worlds. So let's be able to input and navigate in Braille, but let's be able to do the commands and operations with QWERTY keys. So that's kind of how the QBraille was born. I sort of designed it. Basically, what we did is we just removed the letters and numbers and put a 9-key Perkins-style keyboard in there. We have all the modifiers, the function keys, you know, caps lock, shift, tab, all of those things. So you really can input and navigate in Braille, and you can command. You don't have to look up and see how to do Alt F4. You just press Alt F4. So, we kind of, you know, shot this out to the U.S. staff, and they also agreed. And, you know, we had people going, you know, I might actually use a Braille display with my PC. And I'm like, yeah, that, you know, that's my thought too. And of course, we showed it at NFB convention this summer, and that was really the reaction we got. And another girl was talking about how she usually does writing and editing and then formatting as separate functions. So she has to do everything twice. She a lot of times will use a note taker to do the, you know, maybe make a text file, and then she'll put it in the PC and do the formatting. And I've actually done that too. So I understood that. And so, you know, for her, it's like, oh, we can do it in one process. So this has really been exciting. It's been exciting for me to see this concept that started in my head, you know, become real, but also to see other people just as excited and to get it and to sort of understand it the same way that I hoped that it would be understood and responded to. So anyway, yes, I can ramble about anything, by the way.
And you know, one of the things that struck me when I was using this device, because I've been using it with a Surface Pro, and I thought two things. I thought, first of all, I could just get rid of the magnetic keyboard that's attached to the Surface Pro and just carry the Surface Pro around with the QBraille. And then going back to my mobile phone example from a couple of minutes ago, I was also able to flick seamlessly between controlling both devices, because this thing pairs... Is it 5 Bluetooth devices?
6.
6 Bluetooth devices. My goodness. You can add more.
Yep. my boss was insistent that we actually were going to have 4, but he's like, no, we have to spec up. So this is your developers here. This is good. So yeah, we have 6. I don't know if I'd ever be connected to 6 Bluetooth devices,
no,
but
probably
you can.
Not 6. You can. Okay.
And then USB also. So that you can... essentially compared to 7 if you wanted to.
And I suppose and I suppose even having 6 is useful. I know, for example, I have had it connected to my, as I mentioned, a Surface, my iPhone, and then I had it connected to a desktop machine which I was using at home. So you can still flick between those devices. Maybe your device is somewhere else, but you don't have to repair all the time.
No, you don't, because it's all saved in there. That's right. So you're right. When you go home, you can just hit the right keys that'll connect you to that device. Is just a couple of keystrokes and you're good to go. So yeah, it's great.
Now,
in fact, you probably are connected more than me.
but I know there is a little bit of what I would call, well, not a little bit, there's quite a bit of standalone functionality in the device as well, although I'm suspecting you wouldn't be suggesting this as a standalone device.
I wouldn't suggest it as a note taker or anything like that. There is a notepad in it. And I think what we find, it actually has most of the same functionality that the Braille Edge had, with, for those of you who are familiar with that, with the addition of a text-based DAISY reader. It won't do audio, just the, you know, DAISY textbooks. And then you can also now read PDFs in the notepad. I think, to me, you know, it really is a Braille display, I think. So we do have people that read books on it, and I think that was really the most common function for the notepad and the Braille Edge, although some people did use it sort of as a basic, you know, file creation tool. But it's not really advanced, and it's not supposed to be. And again, this is why we added the DAISY functionality as well, because it's really all about reading Braille, whether it is, you know, Braille that's coming from one of your connected devices or internally. So we did focus a little bit more. It does also have a calculator and a basic calendar, a stopwatch, You know, just some very basic functionality in addition. But our thought was really that this is meant to be, it's really one of those devices for diehard Braille users.
And it's a device, I think, that's going to be really suit the professional. I think when I was thinking about this, and you and I chatted about it before, it's probably something someone has on their desk in the office, but equally they can pick it up and stick it in their bag if they're bringing, to go back to that example of a Surface Pro maybe again, and they're on the train. I was thinking you could even leave the computer in your bag and turn it on and control fully from the QBraille.
Yep. And I've actually done that. I have a Surface Book and I do the sort of the same thing. I flip the keyboard out of the way and set it up so that it's basically just the screen. And I can close it then and just hit the little unlock button on the side and just control it from the QBraille even if I don't take it out. So you're right, it does work that way. And it's a nice, it's a little bit larger Surface. So if you are on the train or something like that, it's a little bit easier than say like my little Polaris Mini that I usually have to put on one knee and try to keep stable. So, you know, if you're going to take a long ride, sure. But yeah, I do think of it as more of a desktop. I don't use it on the go too much, I will be honest. I do use it more on my desk. And I think that's where we think about it. One of the areas that we think it might be really useful is in government agencies, for the reason that a lot of times their programming has a lot of keystrokes built in. And this way people can easily just use the QWERTY keys and still have all their Braille functionality, because those jobs often do need and require a Braille display. Mm-hmm. But being able to use all the commands on the PC, I think it makes it easier that we have the QWERTY keys, so they're able to do that intuitively as well.
Jenny, it's been great to chat to you. I suppose it's been just, it's great to just kind of hear from the company directly and to just talk a little bit about what's happening and some of the really cool innovations coming out of HIMSS. I always say to people, I love the keyboards on HIMSS products. I love the keyboard in the Polaris. It's really, really nice to type on.
I really love the one from the Mini and the QBraille. It's the same. And I really like that. And the one thing I want to say is I totally sound like a commercial. I know I do. And I'm very sorry. But I have to tell you that I also personally purchased a QBraille. I buy these products myself. So me selling them to you isn't me selling them to you. I actually really use them every day and really enjoy them. And the reason I love to work here is because they are responsive and I do get to help shape these things and really try to make products that people will use and want to use both physically and because of their feature sets. So yeah, I sound like a commercial, but I really do actually honestly utilize these products myself and really do love them as much as I sound like I do.
I think one of the things for, I suppose, those of us who work in this sector who are blind or have low vision, and I would say pretty much the same as you, is that A, it's a passion, and B, we will generally be regular users of the technology that we're promoting, because it's that passion that helps to do the promotion as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So clearly that shines through for you as well. Jenny, it's been great to catch up with you, and thank you so much for doing this in your evening time. It only leaves for me to wish you a very happy Christmas and all the very best for 2019 with all those exciting products.
Ah, thank you. And same to you. Merry Christmas, as we would say in the US. And Happy New Year and all the rest.
Thanks, Emil. Take care. Over many years of working in this sector, one of the biggest challenges that I've seen, and I know lots of people have come to talk to me about, is accessible mobile phones, and more specifically, accessible mobile phones with buttons. They're very hard to find these days, but we're excited in Sight and Sound because for a while we've been carrying the Smart Vision range from French manufacturer Capsys, and I have to say to you, I absolutely love these phones. I'm delighted to be joined on Skype by Capsys CEO Achim McKinnion. Achim, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Stuart.
Yeah, and listen, great to have you. You guys are doing some really good things with accessible phones, and we'll talk about the different types of Smart Vision in a little while. But maybe just before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about your company?
Yeah. The Capsis has been settled in 2007 south of France. So we initially worked for 2 years on a new concept of navigation device. The particularity of the device was voice-oriented only, without screen, and telling the indications by voice. So we worked on this for 2 years, and we launched two years after the concept of Captain, which a lot of people knows now, to be a very small, very effective navigation device. And so we have essentially worked for everybody in the consumer business. So we have been quite successful. Mm-hmm. But at the end, we have understood that the product we have done were really fitting for the needs of the visually impaired. And from that point, we have been interested in the visually impaired market, providing that our DNA is RF communications, vocalization, voice recognition, and that's how we put all these pieces together to make the Captain work. And afterwards, so we made also different versions of the Captain. The last one was the Captain Mobility, where we really designed for the need of the visually impaired. And the change of the paradigm on the market with the smartphones coming essentially from iPhone, we have seen the market moving forward the application space. But personally, I did not believe that there is any a hope that we can survive with the applications only. Mm-hmm. The fact is, a few years after, nobody was survived, and we have decided to make our special smartphone for visually impaired. This was the Smart Vision product. So here we are with the mobile phone business.
Brilliant.
And just to add one thing, that actually smartphone or mobile phones is not really unknown domain for us, because personally I started to work in this domain mid-80s. And almost all my R&D team is coming from the mobile domain. So we know what we are doing, and since long time.
Okay. And it's really interesting, because I saw the very first Captain GPS system, which, as you said, wasn't actually designed for somebody who was visually impaired. It was using voice. I think the idea was for cyclists to be able to hear this thing when they were traveling along. I thought it was brilliant. And I suppose from that time, I was thinking that, you know, here's an interesting company who are sort of creating a product for everybody at the same time, even though you may not have realized at the time that you were doing it, which is even more interesting. Now, were people coming to you in France, were you hearing maybe anecdotally from visually impaired people who were saying to you, we find it really difficult because we can't use a touchscreen phone and we need something with buttons? Like, you were obviously hearing that from people, were you?
Yes, definitely. This is the reason why we made the first Smart Vision not only with the touchscreen for some population, but also we added the keypad on top of the vocalization, of course. And this made really a differentiation with the existing solutions, because, as you said, a lot of people
didn't like and still doesn't like the use of the touchscreen, because I believe as a visually impaired, it's not easy to use the smartphones, specifically smartphones, because this is a very complex product, a lot of features. So I think a lot of people were looking for something accessible with the keypad, yet being a smartphone. So this is what we have done.
Okay, because yeah, and I think that's exactly it. A lot of people say, well, I don't just want a keypad on a basic phone, although some people do want that, and we'll probably come to that in a sec, but people say, I want all the features of a smartphone that everyone else has on their touchscreen device, but actually I want to be able to press buttons to make this thing work. Let's talk about Smart Vision first of all, because there's a sort of a few versions of it, isn't there, I guess, maybe depending on what you want.
Smart Vision 2 came with a lot of improvements compared to the first one, specifically on accessibility side, because we really made it important job internally to make the smartphone working with keypad, which you probably know, the smartphones are not really efficient to working with the external keypads. But this is this was the challenge, and I think we have done a lot of work to achieve a very good result, although we know that we can still improve it, and we will do. So the Smart Vision 2, on top of the vocalization, on top of the accessibility, comes in two versions. One, Smart Vision 2 Basic, which have all the features coming like a regular Android smartphone, although we have added some other features, like we do offer the web radio, for example, in the basic version. We have the color detectors. We have number of small features we have embedded in. Of course, a Smart Vision 2 is an open system, so you can browse, you can on internet, you can download any applications from Play Store. So there is not any differences as a smartphone concept from the rest of the devices you can find on the market. And we have created a premium version of it, which of course has all I've described with the basic version, but on top of it we have added three important applications. The first one is the Captain, which we put all the we have done so far in as an application in the device. So it's an app. The particularity is that you don't need to have any data to make it work, because all the map information is embedded already in the product when we ship the product. And we have added also some other features to make it more secure and comfortable for the user. The second application is the book reader. So we have added a book reader which can read not only the electronic book formats like DAISY or EPUB, but also reads the documents like PDF format, Word, text, which basically book reader and document reader together. And the third application is the OCR. The particularity of the OCR is you can use it either manual or in automatic format. So you have all the vocal informations like the horizontality of the device. You have the angle calculations with the page you would like to read, but also you can save the result of the OCR in an application called Notes that you can later on read those documents, or you can also use it as attachment to send it with an email to a third party.
So there is a lot of functionality there in a fully accessible phone that has buttons. And I know with the Smart Vision 2, you have the option of actually using the touchscreen and the buttons at the same time, pretty much, don't you?
Yes, we do. Actually, Smart Vision 2 is not only for blind, but also with people having a visual impairment. So I know that some of the people would like to still use sometimes the touchscreen. So everything you have is accessible both with touchscreen and the keypad. So you can browse any application, any web pages, both with the touchscreen, whether it is in accessibility mode or not, or using the keypad.
And because it runs Android, and because you can install apps from the App Store, and obviously you guys cannot possibly test them all, it must be interesting for you to hear people coming back to you and say, I've run such and such an app on my Smart Vision 2 and it's going really well.
Yeah. We unfortunately know when the things are not working, because when it works, nobody will tell us that it works.
Yeah.
But to be honest, we have a very little a return giving us some information about the feedback on what is not less working, I would say. And we are also releasing new upgrades or of the software, improving it mostly about the accessibility. So we improve the things to make it work with all the applications. So all popular applications you can see, whether it is WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, all the rest is perfectly working with the Smart Vision 2 so far. I cannot say all application is working,
sure,
but from the feedback we have, I think our customers are very happy in all the places that we are marketing the product.
One of the things that one or two customers have certainly said to me about the Smart Vision 2 over the last little while is just the accuracy of the voice recognition service. So it's really easy to use with your voice if that's how you want to enter text.
Yes. To make it very easy, we have added a button which is at the right edge of the product. This button will, when you push, you can give the instructions to Smart Vision 2, like if you want to know the weather, if you want to open an application, but also the same button will lead you to dictate the text when you are in email or messaging or any data field that you would like to fill with numbers, phrases, sentences, words. So all this make very, very easy to use, and also, as you said, accurate, because I think the accuracy in the visually impaired, for the visually impaired, is very, very important. So Yes, we are very happy that we have done something precise and easy to use for all our customers.
Okay, fantastic. Now, there's clearly lots of power in a device like that. Lots of customers happily using it. But I'm assuming some customers came to you and said, actually, we just want something a bit more simple. We don't want all these features. And you responded to that by developing MiniVision.
Yes, you are perfectly right, because although we do all these super features, we still have people doesn't like to have so much complicated devices, and they want to have the essential for them. So this is basically the reason why we have created the MiniVision, which has a limited set of applications or features, but we have put all necessary features that our customers were asking to us. As you know, our DNA is on vocalization and voice recognition. So even though MiniVision is a limited has limited applications, it's a closed system, is dedicated for the people they want to have essential, I would say maybe non-techies. But we still put the voice recognition in the in this device to make it simple to use for everyone. So you can command the device with voice, like calling someone, entering the numbers, sending the text message to one of your contacts, open an application, go to a specific page, or just put a note in the device. So so all these things you can do it by voice, but we have added also on top of the regular applications like call, SMS, and so on. So we have added some applications, I would say, like weather, which you can have a forecast for the coming 5 days where you are. We have added, of course, the agenda and the alarm. So these are the main features, but you have also other applications like calculator, color detector, like FM radio, and so on. So basically, what makes the difference between Smart Vision 2 and Mini Vision is that with Smart Vision 2, you can do almost everything. You are connected. You can browse, you can send emails and receive emails with attachments. So what MiniVision does is we are not connected to internet, so you cannot use the email, you cannot browse on the web pages. But we do offer the essentials for communications, like calls and SMS, and a number of applications like alarm, like agenda, and some features like the weather forecast to make the everyday life as agreeable as possible.
Easier, yeah.
And one thing I would like to add also for both our both products, and this is also true for MiniVision. So we have an emission rate, a very low. And I think this is worth to underline that we do also care about the health of the people using our devices. So it's one of the best in the class you can find in the smartphone and the non-smartphone devices, which I believe is an important point for everyone.
Absolutely, especially nowadays when we're all so conscious of spending maybe a bit too much time with our phones. So we're almost coming, we're just about at Christmas, Achim, and it's the end of the year. What's in the plans for Capsys for next year? Are you guys excited about the future for Smart Vision? Anything coming up that you want to tell us about?
I think we would like to continue to make the visually impaired life better and bring innovative solutions in this market. And we are also working on artificial intelligence to bring innovative solutions on our devices. And we will probably work on next year on a new device, which I don't think will come into the market in 2019, but more likely 2020.
Okay, so there are some very exciting things to look forward to, maybe a little bit down
yes,
the line.
Yeah, yes.
Brilliant. Okay. Achim, it's been great to speak to you. Thank you so much for sharing all the, it's a sort of the, I suppose, the story of Capsys and what you've been doing and the tremendous products that you guys have. And of course, anyone who's listening to the podcast, if you want to find out more, give us a shout here at Sight and Sound and we'll discuss the phones with you and give you demos and talk to you about pricing and all that. Achim, for the moment, thank you for talking to us and wish you a very happy Christmas and look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Merry Christmas too, and hope the things we will bring in the market will again make create excitement for everyone.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to Achim McKinnon there. It was so nice to speak to Achim from Capsys and learn, I suppose, really interesting, isn't it, where a company diversified and realized from the start or the development of a product that wasn't actually originally for visually impaired people, and that was the Captain GPS device, that suddenly they diversified into a very niche market, and clearly there are many people with sight loss benefiting hugely from the innovations that are coming out of Capsys. So many thanks to Achim for giving us his time. Smart Vision 2 and Smart Vision Mini, I know from having been at the Sight Village exhibition there a couple of weeks ago, you know, people really want to know more about these devices, what they can do and how they can maximize them. And of course, thanks to Jenny Axler from HIMSS. We could have done a whole podcast with Jenny, really. We could have talked for a lot longer. But it was really interesting not just to hear about HIMSS and the impact that Jenny's innovations are making on that company and how they develop their products, but also just the experience of a totally blind person moving from the US to Korea, and clearly a very positive experience as well. Now, it's just about time to go. You know, when I joined Sight and Sound in September, I brought the idea of this podcast to James Everson and Glenn Tookie, and I'm very lucky that the lads didn't throw me out of their office. They said, go on and go ahead. So thank you to everybody in Sight and Sound for helping to get this podcast off the ground. I'm looking forward to 2019. It's going to be an exciting year, and we're going to bring as much of that excitement to you as we possibly can on our Sight and Sound podcast. Have a very happy, peaceful and safe Christmas. We look forward to speaking to you and serving you in 2019. And whatever you're doing over the festive season, be safe and enjoy. From Stuart Lawler and everybody else at Sight and Sound, take care, goodbye, and talk to you next year.